Something big is cooking during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot with the Weber Jumbo Joe Premium Charcoal Grill. We're talking almost 2 feet across big. That's 13 burgers at once big. Right now, get the Weber Jumbo Joe Premium Charcoal Grill for just $99.98 at the Home Depot and bring that classic charcoal experience to your cookout. Buy it online and pick it up in-store to get to grilling sooner. Go big during Spring Black Friday with the Weber Jumbo Joe Premium Charcoal Grill, now just $99.98 at the Home Depot. How doers get more done. Order select in-stock items by 4 p.m. subject to availability.
Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 Bacon Bundle, because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the Bacon Cheese Slider, 1921 Bacon Cheese Slider, or Chicken Bacon Ranch Slider, and also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 Bacon Bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.
Hello. Welcome back to another episode of The Juice. I'm your host, Solomon Giorgio, comedian, writer, and an advocate that Daphne is smarter than Velma. My guest today has more podcasts than I have wigs, which is really saying something. You know him from a slew of popular Earwolf podcasts like Super Ego, James Bonding, and Pistol Shrimp Radio. Not to mention his co-hosting and producing role on Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend. Let's give a big, juicy welcome to Matt Gourley. Hi, Matt. It's so good to see you.
It's really good to see you. How are you?
I'm good. I think you have probably like one of the most impressive backgrounds I've seen so far. And
I just thought you meant the background to my life and character. I'll take it, though.
But I'm like right behind you. Like I've never seen those are beautiful guitars.
Oh, thank you. I it's funny that, you know, on the Conan podcast, when we were Zooming from home during the quarantine, Conan had guitars behind them. And eventually Sona had a shelf shaped like a guitar and it just became this theme.
Should I get a guitar?
Yeah, you should. There's probably one in there if that place is anything to do with Conan. I think he has them by the doorway in every room.
True. My background at home is just my wigs, and I feel like I should get a wig in the shape of a guitar just to...
I don't know. Something tells me you are a master of the wig more than I am anywhere close to being a master of a guitar. So that maybe that's your instrument.
You know what? I feel like I should just learn both. I think that's going to be my market as an artist from now on. I'm quitting comedy, podcasting world, and I'm going right to wig guitar artistry.
I'd love to join you because I don't want to toot my own horn, but I can play a wig.
You can play a wig guitar?
I think just a wig.
The that does not
just,
exist
I mean,
yet.
Just a wig. I think I can, if it's a wig with character, I can have fun wearing it.
See, I think that's all that's... I feel like not many people understand the joy of having a character and a wig.
No.
It really...
And something very germane to this podcast is I've often prided myself. I have like flawless wig dar. I can tell you when someone's wearing a wig.
Really?
Yeah.
Like I'm pretty good, but there's times where I'm like, I think the best way to live in this world is to assume everyone's wearing a wig.
Smart.
That way you're generally surprised when it's their actual hair.
That's true.
A lot of people get mad when you try to snatch their wig off, but... It's like, Mom, I get it. I know it's your hair, but I wanted to check this time. We've known each other for a while. We've met. You're now one of several comics that have been on the show now that I've met through the cruising system. Not yes. Sorry, that's another means something else in the gay world. I know that.
Well, that's for our wig time.
But yeah, I feel like that was the first time we've met, and then the world ended after that.
That's right. Yes, we were on a performer's cruise performing, and what a strange beast that whole thing is. Pre-COVID, obviously. And I think I'd never go back.
I think it would be not smart to go back to the thing that helped cause.
Yeah, I think you're right.
But I also, being the forefront of a pandemic, that might be the best way to go. I feel like being in the background, not being a star player in the last 2 years was really...
Priorities, Solomon. I'm hearing you.
So this is all about gossip and how people grow up, and that's kind of where I enjoy. Like, and I know you're Whittier, California. Is that right?
That's right. Yeah, born and raised.
Born and raised. Where is it? North?
No, from where you are, Whittier is east. It's kind of southeast. It's at like the far extreme of LA County before it turns into Orange County. So there is a little bit of that Orange County rot creeping in. But at the same time, Whittier is its own little phenomenon because it's actually a pretty big, long city and it's surrounded by freeways. But because it's a big city, it took a while to get to any freeway where I lived. So we were kind of in this weird little island that wasn't freeway adjacent. It was just kind of lost to time a little bit.
That's kind of cool. I've actually never, I feel like I've been near and around and by because it's,
yeah.
Is it Disneyland that's not too far?
Yeah, Disneyland is in Anaheim and Knott's Berry Farm is even closer. So I grew up very theme park steeped, even though Universal was my favorite as a kid, but...
So you just like you didn't mind doing the longest trek possible to the theme park.
I mean, you got to work for like, it. It made it pay off so much sweeter.
I've got to agree. At the time, especially when we were younger, the Universal Studios did have the experiences. The backdraft room was my favorite.
Oh yeah,
which
on a cold day, that was the best.
Oh
my god!
If you are a little pyromaniac in the '80s and nineties,
and I was. I lit my bed on fire, my whole bedroom on fire.
What?
Yeah.
How? Now do you have to tell me what?
Well, because I was exactly what you said. I was a little pyro. Like I didn't go to my eighth grade graduation dance because I had finally figured out how to make electronically charged blood pack squibs like they have in movies. So I stayed home and was just like setting them off on me outside. And so I was so into that kind of thing. And it was like going around school that you could take a stick of deodorant, which I was also seventh or eighth grade. It was the first time as a boy I'm using man's deodorant, right?
Yeah.
And you could light it on fire and it would be like, you'd carry it in the case. It'd be like holding a torch in the movies. So I was doing that in my room, but then I thought, well, I got to get it out. So to extinguish the flame, I shook it like you would a match and the whole stick of deodorant flew out of the canister, rolled under my family's antique bed that was in my room and the whole mattress just went... Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Oh my. I didn't know that deodorant was flammable, but I did know that non-dairy creamer is flammable.
What? Are you
serious?
So the
powdered non-dairy creamer?
Yeah,
me and my friends, I'd like, yeah, me and my friend Ruth at the time when we were younger, I would just go to, she lived in the third floor of an apartment building, and I'd go to the balcony and I'd just do a slow, steady stream of non-dairy creamer and she'd run to the bottom and it just shoot right up in flames.
Oh my God. Oh man. It's a good thing you and I didn't grow up together.
Oh no, we would have, me and my brothers, I'm not going to say which city because I'm sure, I don't know what the statute of limitations, we did, may or may not, or somebody else I know that I don't know that wasn't me at all.
Oh right.
May have set a whole field on fire that we never got caught for.
Nice. I mean, not
it
nice,
was a field of sticker bushes that were very dry.
Yeah, nobody
it was very
those.
Unintentional. But yeah, but luckily we lived in a city, a municipality did not care about an acre of sticker bushes being burned. I'd say half an acre, maybe 1,000 feet. It wasn't that big. Come on. I can probably scale it down.
Yeah, but yeah, no big deal. Half an acre. I got that on me. Come on.
But the backdraft room is sort of, I'm trying to explain to people who are going to never experience it because it's no longer available.
And it's
at
like
Universal,
no other attraction that's ever existed in a theme park.
It's just you're standing above this room in this like little like bridge, and you watch. It's like an office building, like a manufactured office, and the back room just starts on fire and starts shaking, and it just bursts open, and the whole room just catches on fire, and then it just goes away. And the way that most people didn't care, and how I would just keep coming back around to see a room count.
Oh, I hear you. I was the same way. And that the real treat was to go on the backdraft because it's not even a ride. You're really just standing on like a balcony while this whole warehouse goes up in flames. But if you would go to that and you just get flush with heat and then you could hop right on the tram and go to the like flood part where you get like doused with water. It was, and the earthquake part of that tram attraction had water too that would kind of spray you, and also the heat from the fire, and same with King Kong. It was a sensory experience no other. Disney
really
couldn't
place.
Touch it. Yeah.
Didn't you work at Disneyland though?
Mm-hmm. And Universal Studios.
You worked at all the facilities?
Never Knott's. I wanted to be in the stunt show at Knott's, but I was too much of a twerp.
So were you on the stunt shows and the other ones?
I didn't do a stunt show though. I did a gunfight comedy show at Disneyland for a while, but mostly I did improv performance there. And I was also, this is sort of notorious. It follows me around everywhere. I was the voice of a talking trash can at Disney. That was like the state of the art metal trash can that has the like flap opening. But I would control it. It was a fully functional mobile robot, and I had a secret bag, and I would just stand in the crowd with people dressed in normal clothing, and I had a secret mic in my hand, and whatever I said would come through the trash can in a high-pitched computer voice, and then I would move it just talk to people. It was crazy.
That's insane. I famously have never been to Disneyland.
Whoa,
that's what I'm known
really?
For.
Wow, you got to hold out now. That's your identity.
Look, at this point, I've worked as a writer for several Disney productions, and I'm just like, they don't just hand out the free Disneyland for anyone.
No.
And until I get it,
yeah, good.
I will
for you.
Fight for it.
Good for you.
I will hold off. I'm gonna go in September. That's what I'm. I'm gonna go. It's just one of those things where it just waited so long that it just became like a small. For me, my go to is Six Flags.
Yes. Okay. You're a roller coaster.
I'm a roller coaster fanatic. I need to feel near death.
You got the need for speed. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Gosh, what a. Now, the world of the theme parks and where you grew up, what was the gossip situation growing up there? Was there any fuel of information going about?
There wasn't when I was growing up, but when I did work there is a kind of like cast system, and I don't mean that like as a pun on cast members because that's what they call employees, but yeah. There really is like the people that work there that drink the Kool-Aid and kind of believe in the Disney cult, and then a smaller, much smaller group that are kind of there almost cynically. And those were usually the performers in the union because they were probably actors themselves, and they were, I think we were making like three times as much as any character or anything. And so we were just there because it was like really good disposable income. It was actually a really well-paying job and you got full benefits. And, you know, in like 2001, I was making like close to $30 an hour just doing these stupid improv shows.
Yeah, that's a million, to those who are younger, that's like $1 million an hour.
It was a lot. It was the first
inflation.
Time in my
it's
life.
A lot. It's,
yeah, I was making disposable income. And you know, we were.
I was working at that time at a JCPenney and I was making $7 an hour.
Yeah, that's about what the face characters, like the Cinderellas. And my wife was a former character and that's what she was making. It was crazy.
Wow.
Yeah.
$7 an hour to be a fucking princess?
Maybe it was more. I don't know. But the way she talks about it,
yeah,
it doesn't
but
sound
still,
like
still, like that's like you, like that's because there's nothing. It's hot. It is disturbingly hot to be in those costumes and
you're
makeup.
You're dealing with disturbing people often too.
Oh yeah. It's like, you're not the princess I want to talk to, which I feel like that would scare me the most if I got to be a second tier character and get treated with disrespect. Like I was the person. Like,
I know.
Not
God forbid you're like Marjorie from Treasure Planet. I don't even know if that's a character. I'm just saying that poor woman, whoever she might have been.
Within this caste system, was there any were there anything tumultuous like situations that people like? Was there any incestual things that kept happening around you?
Sure, yeah. I mean, there was a lot of, let's say, fraternization between the union people. Which, by the way, we were all called AGVAs. So the union was the American Guild of Variety Artists, which was, I think, created for vaudeville, but at this point was a union mostly for like. Circus clowns and things like that. Phyllis Diller was the president at one point. And,
of AGVA?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
And also, I'll never understand this as long as I live. AGVA had a no strike clause with Disney, meaning they couldn't strike. So there was literally no bargaining power. It was one of the worst unions.
What?
And so sometimes
the whole point of a union,
yes,
specifically,
yes,
the means the thing that renders it meaningless 100% is the ability to strike.
Yeah. So we would sometimes, yeah, there was some dating within, and then sometimes you would, you know, there would be dating from without the union and into the regular employees, and it could get kind of incestuous. And it was, yeah, it was like high school in a way, but I was kind of in and out of, I was there a long time, but I would go there and go home. I wouldn't get too deep in all that.
Well, you said your wife was there, didn't you?
That's right. I met her at Universal. So I am, okay. I am a little guilty.
But Universal is a whole different program, I'm assuming, because it's.
Yeah. It's like the total relaxed uncle that lets you come over and drink a beer and watch an R-rated movie where Disney's your strict parents. But my wife, Amanda, and I worked there at Disney together years. We never met each other. And then we met each other one summer at Universal. It's crazy.
Oh, that's sweet. Just walking by each other, like literally walking by the castle for Serendipity to get you there, but you decided no. We're going to meet in the backdraft room. Fuck your castles. Fuck your princesses. We're going back to the future.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, that is actually very sweet. So how long were you at Universal before you were
I was there down? For a matter of weeks, maybe months at the most, because it was a summer where I, speaking of being at home a lot, I was like super reclusive and I was like, I got to get out and see my friends and have a social life. So I knew my friends were working there and I thought, I'll go up there for this summer job. It'll be kind of fun. It'll be easy. It's an improv job. And I did. And I met Amanda right away and just quit because I was like, got what I came for. Because the job
mission
was
accomplished.
Yeah. The job was that we were up on a balcony in that British street of the theme park that you can walk through. And we were just British characters who would yell down at park guests in British accents. But you know, what started out as like British archetypes, like a tweedy upper class gentleman, they just boiled down to all you could be was the man had to be like a Rolling Stones rocker and the girl had to be like a Spice Girl. And then
really,
yeah. And then you're working this job at like a Tuesday at 11 a.m. And the people that come through the park on those days are often, I mean, I don't know how else to put it, but like special needs people whose parents will just drop them off because they get daycare there cheaper than they could have it in real life.
Yeah.
And so it was just a surreal world. And I only lasted a few weeks or months in the summer. And then luckily the marriage lasted.
Yeah. For the marriage, but like I've always like, I'm one of the people that goes on an off day.
Yeah.
For theme parks. And I feel truly bad for anyone that works there because they still have to give their all. There's no 0 to 10. It has to be at 100. Like you have to fucking go. So it's like I remember going to I think it might have been Magic Mountain, and there was just Bugs Bunny saying waving hard to no one. And I was like, I'm so sorry. You have to do that all day. Oh my gosh. So like high school wise, where'd you settle in that world?
You know, I was one of those kind of like a little bit of everything guys. I wasn't the popular kid, but I wasn't an outcast. I kind of floated from group to group, though mostly I was just in theater. But my high school wasn't like quite the stereotypical theater nerds. Like there were jocks in the theater group. So I was kind of like a little glad handler, I guess. I was way more extroverted in high school and outgoing. So I was very friendly and just kind of mixed with everyone. I was a little tonic and I was tiny.
Yeah, it sounds like you had a great experience in high school, which I think is really very, very frustrating for me to hear.
I think I did have a pretty good, I maybe didn't have a great certain periods of college, but I did. Yeah. I think, you know why I had a good high school time? Because I was too ignorant to know that it wasn't good. And then when I got to college, my eyes opened a lot and saw that, oh wait, I'm not as happy as I think I am.
Oh, you know what? I'm very glad you finally got there, man.
I was a late bloomer.
I would have been very late in life bloomer to teen angst. Where'd you go to college?
I went to Cal State Long Beach.
Cal State, you just stayed in the area.
Oh, I'm such a roots guy and such a homebody. And and I've never lived outside of Southern California.
Yeah. It's a great home turf to have.
It's not bad. Yeah.
Like what's like, if anyone like, so I know there's a lot of shit talking about SoCal and other places.
Yeah.
Is there like, is there any particular beefs that you've always kind of despised when people judge SoCal?
No, I understand it. Cause I think that I share those beefs. You know, when they say that LA, specifically Hollywood, is superficial, they're absolutely right. The only problem is like that's Hollywood, and nobody that actually lives and works here lives in Hollywood, really. So it's almost like everybody understands that's just a demilitarized zone, that you go there out of necessity, not desire.
Yeah. Well, also, here's the thing. One thing I always have an issue with is people saying anyone in LA is disingenuous or fake. I'm like, I assure you, good or bad, that is that person the whole way through. There's no one is being disingenuous. Even the people you consider fake, that is a hollow person. There's nothing going on inside.
Yeah, that fakeness is real. That's their personality.
Like that vocal fry is not a like you can't. I've people really go for the like get upset with a vocal fry, and it's like they can't change the way they sound.
No.
Like, people who have tried to get rid of their vocal fry later in life, like, that's just who they are.
Yeah, and, you know, I have, this is not my theory, I don't think, but I'm sure it's an understood thing that when the Valley Girl craze of the late 70s and 80s hit, it was mocked and it was weird and all that stuff. But then it became like the pop cultural dialect and it took over the world. So anytime you really mock LA and Hollywood, it's kind of what the world is now anyway. So it doesn't really make any sense.
Yeah, it's the mainstream. Like you're making fun of a trend all over the world now. It's everywhere.
Yeah.
But you grew up near Orange County, which I can only fathom.
Yeah, I worked at the Gap in Brea, which was Orange County, at the Brea Mall.
How was that?
It was okay, I guess. I have to say, I mean, I think I was just there to socialize once again. And then it would get so busy at Christmas that I would literally walk from the front to the store to the back and over again. And any time either a manager or a customer would say, excuse me, I'd say, sorry, I'm helping someone else, and just keep walking back and forth.
I did that at JCPenney. I would just be like, I'd work in the suit department and it would get so chaotic during the holidays. And it was just men who've never worn suits once in their entire life deciding that today would be the day they had to buy one. And I would just cut through everybody, going, I'm helping somebody else, and just go to the back room and smoke a cigarette.
That's right. Did we talk department. About this on when you were on Conan's podcast?
Yes, it might have. Yeah. I've worked retail a lot and I dodged. I'm very good at dodging customers and looking like I'm very good at looking like I'm working.
Yeah, that's an important skill.
Like, I think that I've done it multiple times, but I think with retail work, it's the easiest to pull off.
Yeah.
Like, so I think between me and you, we're both pyros. We're both avoiding, work avoidant.
Absolutely. I'd do the same thing at Disney. Yeah.
Oh God. See, even if you were the talking trash can, you can still have to.
Especially I would take it backstage, open it up, and it would look like I was fiddling, like, to fine tune the mechanics of it when I was like resting with my hand on my knee and my eyes closed. And I would just, if a manager would come back, they go, hey, Matt, what's going on? Why are you not on set? I had a problem with this. But I was sitting there sleeping until they walked up.
Oh my God.
I'm not proud.
Oh no, you should be proud. Everyone should be proud of, this is good information for somebody else in the future. Like, especially young men and teens, like, they need to this information in this world.
Yeah, young men and teens need to be a little more entitled.
Look, I highly recommend, I fell asleep standing up once while working at Office Max.
Oh my God, that's impressive.
For 15 minutes, I was putting pens away and I was like, and I was just so tired and I was like, and I just holding on to one like pen, like my whole body just being held by this one little tiny pen rack as I clocked out for 15 minutes.
God bless you. This is, you and I have a very similar history. I used to go in the storeroom at the Gap and they had these huge boxes of clothes and it was always so crowded in there. And I would just sleep on these, open the box and sleep on the soft clothes. But then they had a two columns of boxes that were stacked like catacorny to each other in the corner of the room. So it's hard to explain, but there was like a 1 foot by 1 foot opening made by the corner of the room and the boxes that went all the way basically from the ceiling to the floor. And I crawled up there to hide and sleep, fell down head first with my arms pinned at my side. So only my feet were sticking out of this hole and nobody was in the stock room. And I was just back there. And finally a girl comes in and I go, hey, it's Matt. Where are you? And it's look at my feet. I'm wagging my feet. And they had to bring a bunch of people back there to disassemble the boxes and get me out.
That is so good. Oh my gosh. You know what? Having fun at work wherever you can by sheer laziness is pretty beneficial.
Yes.
Actually, I think I remember, like, I fell asleep, woke up, put the pen back in.
Wow.
And I walked out. I walked out, and one of my best friends was working with me, and she's like, "Where were you?" I was like, "I took a nap standing up." And she's like, "Okay, cool." For me, I can sleep anywhere. It's really it's my main trick is. I've fallen asleep at a metal concert.
God, that's amazing. I'm jealous.
I think we're going to move on to the next segment here. This next segment is our mailbag.
It is mailbag time.
We're we're going to give out grades. So I'm going to, first I'll read the submission. I'll ask you to get a grade of it. So it's either dry, moist, or fully juiced.
Nice.
Fully juiced being the most salacious and dry being very boring.
Okay.
And then I ask that you kind of explain the reasoning behind it.
Okay.
So got that one?
Yep.
All set?
Yep.
All right. So here's the first one. When my uncle was in the process of getting deported after 25 years in the States, he didn't do anything wrong. He just finally got caught without papers. He sent $50,000 to his sister in Mexico to hold for him while he got all of his affairs in order. When he got there, she didn't have it. For months, she wouldn't tell anyone what happened until she finally admitted that her husband blew it all gambling.
Ooh.
He didn't speak to her for 2 years.
Ooh.
Wow. That one is...
That's rough.
That's a family secret.
Yeah, yeah, I'll say.
It's, oh. See, that's the issue, is that you can trust your family with money.
But not your in-laws.
No, this was his sister.
But was it...
gave the money to.
But she... But the her husband.
But her husband had access. Yeah, you can't, like, here's the thing. I trust my siblings. Mm-hmm. Don't trust anyone they date.
No.
They all have terrible taste like I do.
Yeah. Yes. In my case, it's the other way around. I only trust the in-laws.
Oh,
no,
yeah.
Just kidding. If they're listening. I'd give that.
So what's your?
I'd give that moist. It's pretty good, but I would,
yeah.
I would save, what is the juicy one? The rating?
It's a dry, moist, or fully juiced.
Fully juiced, I would save for something a little more salacious. Yeah. This one's just a little more tragic and sad.
Yeah, this is a very sad one. Yeah, that's the thing with most gossip that I really do enjoy is when it's tragic, it's kind of like, oh.
Yeah, it's a downer.
sucks for your uncle. I wish him but nothing but the best in Mexico, and hopefully he gets his money at some point.
You know what would have been amazing if that guy gambled and just won a ton of money, and then the guy got down
exactly
to where he's going, and he's like, hey, do you have my 50,000? No, but I have 100,000. Here you go.
100,000. See, that's the thing, is if you were good at gambling, that's all you got to be, is good at gambling.
Yeah, which doesn't exist. Yeah.
That's a problem with a lot of gamblers. Not very good at it.
Yeah, most.
I think that's...
All people are bad at gambling. Yeah.
That's what I do every time I was on the cruise. I would spend too much money. I love gambling a lot.
Okay.
That's why I'm not in a city that allows me to do it. And however, the boats, when I had nothing else going on, I would just sit at a penny slot machine and just feed it money. I think I would give half of what I've gotten paid every time.
Now, Solomon, this is fully juiced.
Yeah. All right. So this is, we'll go on to the next little piece of gossip.
Okay.
So two bathroom debacles from my old job. All right. First one, one guy from the Texas, but like Austin, Texas office got fired because he took a dump and forgot his handgun in the bathroom stall.
Whoa. Whoa.
That's.
Okay.
All right, I'll move on to the next one. In the main Chicago office, some guy kept taking a huge shit and then not flushing it. Like, this happened for a week straight. Eventually, our CEO called all the men to the bathroom, stood at a table, and threatened to get the poop DNA sample so he could identify and sue/fire the non-flushing culprit.
Oh, my God. Well, that's fully juiced. And the one before it, I'd say, is moist. It was good, but compared to that last one... That one's fully juiced just because of the extent that the boss was prepared to go to, which I bet it's a bluff, but I have to appreciate, like, you got to do what you got to do to get this monster to stop.
Yeah.
What kind of monster?
Well, I can tell you right now, there isn't a company in the world that takes poop samples for DNA.
Good point.
At least not casually taking poop samples for DNA.
Certainly
it's
not.
Like, hey, send your shit samples to us so we can solve your office crime.
Yeah, because probably to do it right, they would have to come do it, not just trust some middle manager to have collected the sample correctly in toilet water that would also have other people's DNA in it, presumably.
Yeah. Well, I think toilet water should be pretty clear between people.
Not if it isn't flushed and...
Look, that's a very good question. I'm not very good at DNA. I've never had to test it. I think that's a good company to start. Somebody out there that's listening, this is your chance to take into a market. Because you know what? Surprisingly, we get a lot of people not shitting in offices as gossip.
Wow, that I could see that.
A lot of people shitting and not flushing. That is really, it's everyone's favorite trademark when they're pretty pissed off in the world of gossip is to take a dump somewhere and either not flush or put it in a place or shit somewhere where they're not supposed to shit, which is really impressive.
Is that just some kind of kink that the society at large won't admit? Because I don't share that kink and I don't understand it, but it does seem to be rampant.
Yeah. The main reason I don't even go camping is because I'm put in a place where I'm not allowed to shit where I want to shit, which is the toilet.
Exactly. Yeah.
So it's, and the idea of having anyone else see what I've created, I don't want that. No. I never wanted that. I never want that to happen to me.
No, no. I'm not that kind of artist.
But I've known people who send photos, and I really wish they wouldn't.
To you?
Yeah, I had a couple friends in my past who like send me a photo if they took something that they considered a hefty poop.
Oh,
they were very
my
proud
God.
Of.
Whoa. You know what? This reminds me, and this goes to gossip too. There was a friend of ours when we were just out of college. We'll call them this guy's last name was Schneider. It wasn't, but let's just say. And they, their family was notorious for having the Schneider poo knife because their family, the men in the family, took such massive dumps that for it to go down the toilet, it had to be chopped. So they kept this knife, the Schneider poo knife, next to the toilet.
What? Oh my God.
That's all I know. I don't know what kind of knife it was. I don't know this, any other circumstances.
It was a steak knife or like a, like I now, I, it's, that's some, like, I never knew that was an option.
For some reason, I picture one of those like long cake icing knives that you get like a flat edge with that's like with a, blunt with a flat tipped. Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh wow. That's impressive and B, very concerning for whatever's going on in that family's bowels.
Yeah, I know.
But I love that it's hereditary. And it's not just one, it's all of us.
That's right.
Oh my goodness gracious. Oh, that is the mailbag. If you want to hear your story on the show, visit teamcoco.com/heyjuice. Okay, girlie. Let's take a quick break. We'll be back with the juice line.
Let's clear out winter and clean up the lawn. With Spring Black Friday savings at the Home Depot. Right now, get the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for just $89 and make your lawn work easier with a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power. Plus, you can buy it online and pick it up in store, getting you outside sooner. Get your yard spring ready with the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower, now just $89 during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done. See store at homedepot.com/delivery for details.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Love the flexibility of working in all sorts of places? Well, working on the go seamlessly requires a strong network like T-Mobile. We have America's largest 5G network, so whether you're on a video call at the park or uploading large files at the coffee shop, we have the 5G speed you need. Whatever takes you on the go, T-Mobile's got you covered. Find out more at T-Mobile.com/network today.
Coverage not available in some areas. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.
Welcome back to The Juice. I'm here with podcaster extraordinaire Matt Gourley. All right, Gourley, now's the time in our show when we go to the phone. We call it The Juice Line. I'm hearing from our board operator that today's caller is Jamal. Let's patch them in.
Thank you. Hi.
Hey.
Hi.
Hi, Jamal. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm very good. It's good to see you. I'm Solomon. I'm here with Matt Gourley over here.
Hi,
well,
Jamal.
He's over here for me.
Pleasure to see you, Jamal.
Hi, Matt.
Well, clearly you have some amazing gossip, and clearly that's what I want to hear. So feel free to share. I want to hear every detail.
Okay, so I moved to Chicago in my late 20s, and I had just moved there after a breakup. So I'm like, this is going to be me taking on the big city. You know, I got a high-powered financial job. I'm working in downtown Chicago, and I'm going to be a whore.
That is the energy I love to hear. Yeah. That is the right energy to have in the world.
This is who I'm going to be, moving to a new city. And, you know, I'm thinking I'm going to be living the big city downtown life. And so I worked in a very, very large, very, very famous building in downtown Chicago.
I love that detail.
Gotcha.
It requires me to do a little research on my end.
But well, I love that you're,
I can figure it.
You're sparing the legality of a building. That's very kind of
but
you.
But let's do it.
Yes.
This the cost might require it.
Okay.
Well, see, the building plays a key part.
Oh,
so that's why I
yes.
That's why I'm giving the building a little bit of energy.
Okay.
So again, I'm a baby gay. So as much as I wanted to be a whore, I did not know how to do it. So I'm just, you know, toddling along in life, living my, you know, like I said, high-powered financial dreams. And the thing about this building in downtown Chicago is that, I mean, thousands of people work in it, but what's more notable about it is the cafeteria in the basement. And so it has one of these cafeterias where it has like 20 different restaurants that you can go to. And so people come from all over downtown to eat in this place. It's not just people who work in the building. And so oftentimes I go down there for my lunch and I go down with my friends. So one day, probably about 6 months after I had started working there, I had to go to the bathroom. So I down in the cafeteria while I was there eating lunch. And so I went into the bathroom and to my surprise, there were two men in there just jacking each other off.
Well, hello.
And I said, oh my.
And oh my. Oh, hello, sir.
Yeah,
oh my.
It was a oh my. Because while it was not something that I was afraid of or, you know, wasn't intrigued by, it was more like, oh, this here now.
Yeah.
Oh, this is happening. Okay. So I just turned around and kind of just, you know, didn't know what to do with that information at first. And so I went back to my table and I said, oh my God, you'll never believe what's happening over there. And so I told my friend and I just said, all right, I'll just sit on this for a second. And I could not stop thinking about it. I couldn't stop thinking about it. And so I was just like, well, maybe I'll go down and see what it's about.
Just to check if they need anything.
Just, see what's going on. Is everybody sanitized? Everyone thirsty? Does anyone need a chip? Or
does someone need to be tagged out or in?
Just see what's going on.
I had no idea that cruising was a thing. So this was me finding out about cruising and finding out about it in my office building. So what I came to find out over the next many, many months and years is that it was a very popular cruising site. And so I would, and not only was it popular, but it was known to the building that it was popular because there would be days where there were security guards stationed out there.
No blowjobs in this bathroom today. The COs are coming.
Or were they making sure there just wasn't a rush on the room?
It's like, hey, we're going to have to charge you now.
Yeah. Like it's, we're only doing this. 15 blowjobs today, sir. You're going to have to come back tomorrow.
Well, one of the funniest things was most of the security guards that worked there were women. So it wasn't like they were, you know, ready to bust into the men's room at all times. But I guess it was more just like a, you see, we're here, so we know what's going on. But, you know, so my first time I went in there just to see what was going on, you know, I got a blowjob.
Well, on your first time, well done.
You got hired on your first interview?
My first time. Okay, again, because this was all so foreign to me, and I'm just never one to say no to somebody. So I was just like, okay, I guess this is what we do here.
Yeah, I got a blowjob. I just didn't want to be rude.
I mean, he was offering.
Look, every time somebody's offered me a blowjob, I'm like, you know what? Since you asked nicely.
I am the politest blowjob receiver you'll ever meet.
Oh, easily. I say thank you every 10 seconds.
I'm also like checking on your comfort. I'm like, are you cool down there? Is everything all right?
Yeah. I don't know what the weather temp is down there. So if I can change it, I will do it. But okay.
Yeah. And so this sort of began a, long string of having or meeting all sorts of interesting people in that bathroom, many, many, many wedding rings. There was a particular guy, a lot of them were, one mm-hmm. and done. I ended up being like a serial visitor.
They put a plaque with my name on that door. They knew.
When it's on your doorstep, I mean,
perfect.
Sometimes I would find a way between 11:30 and 1 p.m. to take my 1 hour lunch and my 2 15-minute breaks and just get it all in.
That's just smart shopping.
Sometimes you go down there and it's just dead.
Jamal, I knew you were here when you showed up, and I'm so glad you were.
sometimes it's dead, and then other times it's just like banging, and you're like, this is it. This is where I'm going to stay for a while. But not only was it just like you stand at the urinal and, wait and see who's biting, but they had a whole glory hole set up in two of the stalls, too, where somebody had taken out the inner workings of the toilet paper holder. Mm. And so the two stalls connected.
Aww.
And so, and so occasionally there was... there was glory hole action going on in the building of this, or in the basement of this financial building. And so it was just always a really fun dichotomy of seeing a dude in a business suit getting fingered.
Aww.
Why
am I saying, aw? I need to. It's just adorable to me. The world that we live.
It is very sweet.
I know. It opened my eyes to so much. I no longer considered myself a baby gay after
you graduated.
Yeah, that was your rite of passage.
I did.
You did a field study.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That was my gay bar mitzvah.
Do you think that you spent so much time there that maybe one day when you pass away that's you'll haunt that place and they'll just know you to be the ghost of the tower bathroom?
Look, there's a good chance I'll haunt that place when I go away.
Oh my god!
based on these tales,
I'm just like that old ghost in Shining, just in there.
Yes,
that's what I was thinking of. Talking to
you're
people.
Wearing like a red waistcoat.
Oh my god, that makes me so sad. But at the same time, I know I spent too much time in there because now I have like a weird like old dude in suits fetish.
Oh yeah, it was formative for you.
And I think I'm pretty sure that's where that developed. Like I love an old dude with a wedding ring in a suit.
Yeah, see, I just
that really does it for me.
I don't trust any of those people. And you know what? I wasn't there.
And the thing is, I don't want anything from them other than
those are my people. Those are the people I love to rob, but.
I would also need a security guard standing on the other side of a wall just to
Boy, this is getting complicated.
Can you stand on the other side of the door for me? Well, I'm so glad that you did not name the building.
This is why I'm single.
I'm so glad you didn't want to name the building, and I hope no one tries to guess because I want this place to always be a cruising spot in Chicago.
There's no way anyone could guess very tall, very well-known Chicago building.
Very difficult to figure out. Very difficult.
What I will say, though, I will name this place because It was my backup if I couldn't go to the one, if I couldn't go to my normal haunt. There was a full on cruising spot in the downtown Macy's in Chicago.
Oh, wow.
I just assume that's the case with every Macy's. No?
Yeah, that's every Macy's. That's like Nordstrom, though, if you have no, but if you want to see real action. Well,
and that's
JC
the thing.
Penny.
Oh, that's right. You speak.
When I discovered it at that Macy's, I then started visiting other Macy's bathrooms just to check. Oh. You know, I go look for jeans, I go look for shoes, I check for the cruising spot, and then, you know, I leave.
Yeah, unfortunately, this is a bygone era. A lot of cruising places are not up to full function as they used to be because of Grindr, and that breaks my heart a little
bit. And because of the fall of the department store. It's all just connected.
Yeah, it's just, the economy is really shifting, and it's altering how cruising works.
And I also think that the whole COVID of it all has kind of beat the last bit of cruising out of me.
Yeah.
I think that is a younger, more adventurous man's game.
Yeah. If you see me having sex outside, my house is on fire. That is what's going on. I will. if it's not my bedroom, something terrible went wrong. I'm a very lazy person. I would never go anywhere else.
I mean, if I'm having sex outside, it's the purge, and I did not ask.
Oh, but thank you so much, Jamal. That is such a wonderful tale, and give it up to the old cruising spots. And
yeah, let's pour one
off the old cruising spots. But thank you, Jamal, for that wonderful story.
Thanks,
I appreciate
Jamal.
It.
All right, thank you so much.
Bye.
Bye.
Please hold. Thank you.
Oh my goodness gracious.
It does make it seem so quaint.
It is quaint. It's like, it was like, I had one point when I was a baby gay myself, because it was before Craigslist or anything, and I was too young to go to gay bars. So there was a paper, we had an alternative paper in Seattle called the Stranger. And in the very back of it, it had a phone line. You would call in and leave a voice message.
Oh.
And then people like message each other back and forth that way.
Oh.
And like, I think like, oh yeah, it was very, I was like, I'm a 19-year-old virgin. And then my phone exploded.
Oh God, I bet. You know,
with messages,
the best part of Jamal's message was when he mentioned the glory hole and you went, oh. Like, oh,
well, they connected. Yeah. It's like, oh, you know, they try. I mean, look, here's the thing. Homosexuals will find a way to connect. Okay, well, Matt, that is our episode, and I really appreciate you being here.
Anytime, it's Solomon. I adore you. I had a blast. I'm so glad that this podcast is happening, and thank you for having me.
As always, I will happily, and again, I want to have you again. You're so wonderful. Thank you.
Anytime.
It was my pleasure to have Matt Gourley join me on today's show. Be sure and check out his many fine podcasts, Super Ego, James Bonding, I Was There Too, Pistol Shrimps Radio, Bonanas for Bonanza, and of course, from our very own Team Coco Network, Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend. As always, if you want to tell your story on The Juice, send them in by visiting teamcoco.com/heyjuice. Please remember to rate and review an Apple podcast. Give us all the stars if you feel so inclined. And as always, have a juicy day.
This has been a Team Coco production.
Let's clear out winter and clean up the lawn. With Spring Black Friday savings at the Home Depot. Right now, get the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for just $89 and make your lawn work easier with a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power. Plus, you can buy it online and pick it up in store, getting you outside sooner. Get your yard spring ready with the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower, now just $89 during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done. See store at homedepot.com/delivery for details.
Love the flexibility of working in all sorts of places? Well, working on the go seamlessly requires a strong network like T-Mobile. We have America's largest 5G network, so whether you're on a video call at the park or uploading large files at a coffee shop, we have the 5G speed you need. Whatever takes you on the go, T-Mobile's got you covered. Find out more at T-Mobile.com/network today.
Coverage not available in some areas. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.